come to the place, to the one who raised from the dead. Oh, come and see the risen King.
Hello, this is Misty Reese, and I would like to welcome you this day as I share with you the things of the kingdom of God. It is my hope that in sharing, you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing, you find life through the name of Jesus. Hello, this is Misty Reese, coming to you today with Water of Life Ministries in Plano, Texas, and I would like to welcome you back this week. I would like to get started with a song. This song is done by Kathy Mai and her daughters, and they are known here as the Mai Girls. The song is called More Than Conquerors, and I will be back to talk to you today.
Bye.
like to begin today by declaring unto you the gospel. That gospel is the power of God unto our salvation when we believe. That gospel is for everything we have need of in our lives. Romans 1:16 tells us that. It tells us it is the power of God. The gospel, what is it? We talk about it each week. The gospel you will find defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The Apostle Paul tells us in the previous verses, he exhorts us to keep it in memory. He exhorts us to believe in it, to walk in it, to stand in it. And in Colossians, he also tells us to continue steadfast in the faith and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. That gospel, like I said, is the power of God for all we have need of. It is the power of God when we need healing. It is the power of God when we need our heart healed. It is the power of God when we need money. It is the power of God when we've lost something and we need it. But it is also the power of God when we are tired, when we feel like, how are we going to fit everything in? What am I going to do? I have so much to do. It is the power of God for that as well, for everything. And today that's what I would like to share with you. Some of when I was teaching, the things I was doing in the ministry, but also I had a job to do. And a job that when you were a teacher requires more than showing up at 8 and leaving at 3. Maybe some people can do that, but that was not anything that I did in my job. I took my job very seriously and I had devoted my time to my job. The holidays, I was working. After 3 o'clock, I was working. But I also had a responsibility with some things in the ministry. And I would like to share with you today some of those things out of the scriptures, but also how God strengthened me. You know, someone shared with me when I took this last position, the last year I was teaching, knowing all the requirements I had. And they said, Misty, the Lord will strengthen you and you'll be able to do it. And so I want to begin in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God tells us he will strengthen us, he will help us, he will uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. Well, who is at that right hand? Who is that righteousness that we are to believe on? If you turn with me really quickly to Romans 8, verse 34, it says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Right there, we see that Jesus is at that right hand of God. Jesus maketh intercession for us. Jesus is who, and I share this all the time, we are to call on the name of Jesus for whatever we need when we're in trouble, when we're sad, when it seems like the world is coming in on us, when we have a job and we're tired and we know we have all these things to do. You know what you do? You call on Jesus. You know what you do? You continue grounded and settled in the faith. In the faith and believing that gospel. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Jesus of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus at the right hand of God, and Jesus, it says here, of who God is made unto us wisdom and made unto us righteousness and has made unto us sanctification, and Jesus is made unto us redemption. You know, that sanctification is us being set apart to God. When we believe on Jesus, he will take our lives and we will begin being separated unto God. And I've shared before how in 2007, walking in a park one day, the Spirit of God began putting a prayer in my heart, and it was about being separated unto God. And that should encourage us. Believing on the Lord Jesus, we know that he is making intercession for us to the Father, but he's also being made into us wisdom. He's being made into us the righteousness. He's being made unto us sanctification and redemption. Turn with me back to Romans 8. I want to come back to this. And I read out of 34 just a few minutes ago, but I want to begin in verse 31. There's a lot of good things here in these scriptures, and I don't want to skip over them. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, if we are taking up our cross daily and endeavoring to walk and follow Jesus and endeavoring to be in the will of God, who can be against us? Oh, it may look grim at times and it may look like, what did I do? But believe the gospel. And even when it looks like that and you begin to question, don't question. Refuse to doubt and say, I'm going to believe. I don't care. I will believe the Lord. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, should those things separate us from the love of Christ? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you see right there the importance of calling on that name of Jesus? The importance of believing on that name of Jesus? The importance of believing that Jesus went to the cross, we shared last week, out of Isaiah 53, marred more than any man, took on all of our sins, took on all of our perversities, took on all of our griefs, all of our sorrows, despised and rejected for all of us. The importance of believing what he did, the importance of believing that he died and he was buried, and as it said, that God raised him from the dead. That God raised him from the dead. Look across that page at Romans 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if that spirit that raised that man Jesus from the dead, that same spirit that did that dwell in you and dwell in me, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That same spirit, if it's in us, we are going to be quickened. That same spirit is going to quicken us to where we will be able to do the things daily that we need to do. That we will be able to fit all the kids in, fit our job in, fit praying, fit worshiping, or maybe you're not even there at that point yet. Maybe you're like, Misty, well, I'm not worshiping at home. Well, you know what? You will. You will get there, because if you're endeavoring to believe the gospel, and if you are endeavoring to believe on the Lord Jesus, he's not going to leave you set there and not eventually get a hold of you and make you start worshiping and cause you to start praying daily. He'll take your life and he'll do that. You know how I know that? Because he did mine. I was not sitting around worshiping. I was not sitting around praying. I've shared before, I was doing whatever and wasn't even trying to seek after God. But you know what? I've shared this before. Jesus said, I believe, I've not lost one of those that God has given me, that God is committed to him. Well, you know what? He knows where you're at. And he knows if you're walking around doing your own thing, and he knows how to get your attention. And if he's got your attention, then keep seeking him. And he will bring you to the place where you will praise him. You'll want to praise him. He'll bring you to the place where you'll pray, you'll want to pray, and he'll bring you to the place where you know you can't do one thing without him. You can't do one thing without his help. And when you get in a spot, that will be the first name you begin to call on, that name of Jesus. Well, I would like to share with you, referring back to these scriptures and referring back to Isaiah 41, how God said, I will strengthen you and I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Years ago, when I had begun, well, it was after I began teaching, but Anthony, my husband, he was asked to lead a group of people through the ministry in Tulsa. And at this time, we were living in Stigler, which was about 2 hours away. And I had been previously teaching at a job that was 45 minutes away, and I was currently taking a new position. And this was around 2006. And so I was kind of excited about getting a job closer. I was only going to be driving 15 miles at the most. And then we found out that he was going to be also through the ministry doing some of these things 2 hours away. So, like I shared, I was a school teacher, and my job, there were 7 subjects, and you know, you carried, at that time I was carrying a low number of students, but I was accustomed to carrying 25, 27 kids, and you do the math on that with every kid doing every subject, and you've got a good amount of papers to grade, you've got report cards to do, you've got conferences, you've got things you want to get graded to get back to them so you can continue teaching them from what they made errors on, all these things. Well, previous to that, we were doing things in our home with the ministry, whether it was worshiping or joining in. And I don't remember what all the ministry here in Plano was doing at that time, but whenever they were doing something, Anthony believed it was right that we join in. And like I said, at this time, I was just kind of coming, I was learning some things, gradually coming along. The Lord was getting a hold of me and things to that such. But anyway, in 2006, we began traveling 2 hours, and I was trying to maintain my schoolwork. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to keep up with my schoolwork? How am I going to go 2 hours? Now we're worshiping up there. We're worshiping in our home. Just all these things began to overwhelm me. And I just did what I could. The little bit of understanding I had about endeavoring to believe, I would do that. If that's all I knew to do, you know, I didn't care if somebody was 40 steps ahead of me on believing. If I was at step 5, I did where I was at what I knew to do. And if I knew, okay, just believe Jesus, I might be saying, Jesus, I just thank you. Even though my head was like, I don't understand it, but Jesus, I just thank you. And you know, I watched the Lord gradually. He was building my faith toward him, but he was also putting those things off of me where I was able to learn to start managing my schoolwork and managing the things that we were doing in the ministry. You know, at that time also, I don't remember, there was a few months after that, we added a state to our travel, and Anthony was, and I was traveling with him, but we would go to Tulsa, and then we would drive from Tulsa on up to Kansas. And this was happening on Sundays. Kansas was on Sundays along with Tulsa, but Tulsa eventually became Wednesdays and Saturdays. And, you know, the weekend was a big weekend when you're a teacher and you've got some grading to do. But like I said, I watched the Lord begin to settle me in my heart. He began to settle me, and I began to get more confidence. And you know what? I didn't miss a beat. I'll say this, all my administrators, they were always very much appreciative of the work I did. They, with them and with my peers also, I was always, I guess you might say, well looked upon as one of the best teachers that was there. And that even from previous to where I was, and even when I went on to finish in the last school district I was in. You know, that was God who did that for me. God exalted me in my career, and no one knew all the places that we were traveling. No one knew all the time that I was putting into the ministry at that time, and also the time that I was also able to maintain with my career and like I said, manage it. And it was simply God. It was God who was strengthening me. It was God who was upholding me. And it was because I was believing God, but I was also believing on the one he sent. I was also believing on the Lord Jesus. And I was also putting my confidence and my faith in believing that gospel. Like I said, if I was at step 5, that's where I put it. But you know what? I watched that step 5 go up to step 10 and go up to step 15 and go on and so forth to wherever my faith has been established today. And God knows, I don't know, but I know there's a lot more that I'm learning to walk out. And that's why I say, I encourage you, I don't care if you're at step 1, endeavor to believe. Endeavor to believe the gospel. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. Endeavor to believe on the Lord Jesus and call upon him. I know people are in school, people are in college, people are working jobs, people have families, people have dinner to cook. You know what? God knows that. And you know what you can do? You can believe the gospel. You can believe on the Lord Jesus. And God, and you watch, God will strengthen you. God will uphold you. But this last year, I took a job at a building that carried over 2,000 kids, I believe, maybe 2,300 kids, something like that. It was in a middle school. And I was the team leader over a group of teachers, worked with them. There were more requirements that I had ever been expected to do in my teaching career. I carried 64 kids. I taught language arts, and that was reading and writing. And I'm just going to tell you, and some of you who may listen to this that had me in class, you know that I had high expectations. And if this is what we were going to do, I wanted us to be the best at what we did. This is what we were going to do. I wanted all my kids to have the best work presented. And I just had high expectations for them. And that was the way God made me. That was the kind of parents he gave me that raised me that way. And that's what I expected out of my own school kids. And I always believed that they could do it. And I thank God for every single one of those kids I taught in all the various places. Because you know what? They always endeavored to be right up there with what I wanted. If that's what I asked for, they did all they could to produce that work. And I thank God for all of them. And like I said, there were many times that many teachers looked at the things they produced. And that was God. And, you know, I say that, my point I'm getting to is that those were requirements that I put on myself. Those were requirements I put on those kids. And I watched God take those things, and they weren't a burden to me. I watched God, like I said, strengthen me to where I was able to manage. At this time, we started traveling to Texas every weekend for a good 3 months, and that's a big testing season in education going into that spring. And I was traveling every weekend to Texas and trying to maintain the workload I had and also the workload I'd given to the kids. I mean, we could have gotten real simple and me just kind of blown it off, but it was my job, a job I loved and a job that I wanted to see my students excel at. And if that meant me having to put more requirements on me so that they could be the best at what they did, then that's what I did. But I watched God uphold me. I watched God do things for my kids in all my teaching career. And that's what I'm saying to you today, that believing that gospel, that's what believing the gospel can produce. That's what the power of God working will produce. It worked, those things in my career, it worked to where I could maintain things in the ministry, join in with the ministry from home every time they were doing something, and maintain my schoolwork and be one of the best at what I did. And that was God, and that was what was accomplished for me through believing on Jesus. That's what was accomplished for my kids through believing on Jesus and believing that gospel. That gospel is the power of God for all you have need of, no matter how little, no matter how big. It's all it comes down to. I would like to share this last song with you. It is done here by, again, one of the ministers of music, and her name is Terry Brown, and it is called One Day at a Time. And I will be back to close this program.
I'm only human. I'm just a woman. Help me believe in what I can be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. Give me the strength to do everything that I have to do. yesterday's gone. Sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked among men? Jesus, you know when you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Cheating and stealing, violence and crime. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time. Sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. That's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what you have me do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Lord, help me today, show me your way, one day at a time.
Thank you for joining me this week. Have a great week, and God bless you. Thank you for joining me today. I would love to hear from you. You may email me at mistyreesewateroflife@gmail.com. That's MISTYREESE, wateroflife@gmail.com. Or you may write to me at Misty Reese, care of Water of Life Church, P.O. Box 861327, Plano, Texas, 75086.